It's here and now. President Obama heads to Europe next week. His first stop is Poland, where membership in the European Union is very popular. But the results of recent elections demonstrate just how unpopular the EU is in other countries like France and Great Britain. The vote this month was for seats in the European Parliament. And I don't blame you if you don't know much about that institution, but Peter Kleppa does. He's head of the Brussels office of Open Europe. That's a think tank that works on European Union issues, and he's with us from Brussels via Skype. Peter, welcome. And I just want to start with this basic question. What does the European Parliament do?
Well, the European Parliament is sort of the legislative branch of the European Union. So it can, on a number of policy areas, veto and change laws that have been proposed by the European Commission. And the partner of the European Parliament is called the European Council. That's where the European member states gather. And those two institutions, the Parliament and the Council, together decide EU laws.
But its power is very different than, let's say, the power of the federal government in the United States versus the power of the states.
Yeah, you can't perfectly compare. The Parliament's power has also increased a lot in the last 20 years. That's why the European Council President, Herman Van Rompuy, he has called the European Parliament the most powerful parliament in the world, arguing that they set industry standards for a bigger market than the US market for 500 million people. I think this is probably a little bit exaggerated. For the simple reason that, purely legally speaking, the people in the European Parliament have a lot of power. But if they would really go against what national politicians want, then you would see that they can't do anything they like.
Well, give us an example of something that the European Parliament has done.
Well, they, for example, have threatened to veto the upcoming trade deal between the EU and the United States called TTIP. But they also have rejected the sort of the interim agreement between the EU and the US on banking data transfers to the US via the SWIFT network. Citing privacy, they have managed to regulate bankers' bonuses. They have regulated working time. They have changed the fisheries policy of the EU, a whole set of subsidies and regulations for the fisheries industry. So they had a very, very serious impact.
Now, they meet in three different places, Brussels, Strasbourg, and also in Luxembourg. How many seats are there in the parliament, and how are those seats doled out among the countries?
Well, the official seat, the headquarters, is in Strasbourg. But most of the work is being done in Brussels.
I realize I used the word seat, which can be heard in two different ways. How many chairs are there in the parliament?
Well, at the moment, 751 MEPs, so that's quite a lot. This number has grown as the number of countries joining the EU has grown.
Let's get to the elections that just happened, because the headlines all over the United States are that these anti-European parties all over Europe have been claiming victories in elections for the European Parliament. What happened?
Well, basically, in a number of countries, what I would call protest parties did very well. In France, the far-right Front National became the biggest party. In Denmark, the anti-immigrant Danish People's Party became the biggest party. In Greece, the populist left-wing Syriza did very well, became number one. And in a number of other countries, of course, in Britain, the UK Independence Party, who wants to take the UK out of the EU, became the biggest party. But also importantly in Germany, the anti-Euro party called Alternative for Germany managed to convince 7% of the voters and also obtained 7 seats in the European Parliament, which is quite important because the future of the European Union is largely determined by whatever happens with the euro, the common currency. And whatever happens with the euro will be mainly decided by what is called the paymaster of the eurozone, Germany. So the fact that you have a serious protest party, that's quite an important development.
Is that a threat to the European Union?
Well, indirectly, it is a threat to the ever centralizing project. I don't think we should say that the EU necessarily needs to be what it basically has become, a very powerful bureaucracy regulating an excessive number of things, where two-thirds of the rules in Europe are basically being made, which has, as a result of the euro crisis, become some kind of a machinery of fiscal transfers between member states. It has obtained powers to intervene into national budgets. So, I mean, the sort of the centralized EU, I think that's definitely under threat. But I don't think that the EU in itself is under threat by the Alternative for Germany. This party is not against the European Union. They're fundamentally in favor of it, but they don't want to have a common currency which leads to fiscal transfers and bailouts and intervention into national budgets.
That's Peter Kleppa, head of the Brussels office of the group Open Europe, speaking to us from Brussels via Skype. Peter, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.